Turn with your Bibles with me, please, to Mark chapter 14.
Amen.
Mark chapter 14 and verse, I'm going to start reading in verse 32. Mark chapter 14 and 32. It says, and the Bible says, and they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy. And he saith unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death, tarry here and watch. And he went forward a little, and fell on the ground, and prayed, that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless not what I will, but what thou wilt. I want to preach to y'all today about having the love of Christ. We can see from here from our text that Jesus is with his disciples in the Mount of Olives at the foot of the mountain, and he knows that he's just been betrayed by one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot. He knows he's been betrayed, and he's been traded for silver, and he's about to be arrested, and he's going to die for all the sins of the world. We can see here that what Jesus did took love. What he prayed was not according to his will, but to his Father's.
Amen.
And he knew that he was going to suffer and die for us, but he did it out of love. The Bible says he came here out of love, John 3:16, because God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Amen.
I want to talk to you about having the love of God in your life. My first point in verse 38 says, watch ye here and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. God has given us the Holy Spirit upon the moment of salvation.
Amen.
When we called upon his name, he gives us his Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts. Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. God has given us his Holy Spirit to guide us, and he's given us a church with other believers who have that same Holy Spirit.
Yep.
We are given the Holy Spirit. It's meant to guide us, and he lives in our heart, but we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. God gives us to direct us, and we are to live by that, by his grace.
Amen.
Galatians 5:16 says, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Holy Spirit helps us to avoid sin.
Amen.
My second point is verse 35. It says, he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed, that if it were possible, the hour might pass for him. Jesus had a prayer life. God, that's what God wants for much of us, that we don't do enough, is we don't pray.
Amen.
That's how, the more you spend in prayer, the more you're going to be like conformed to the image of Christ.
Amen.
And that's the problem with a lot of Christians today, is that they're not praying. We don't have a prayer life like we should. Jesus, in the Bible, throughout the Gospels, you can see that what pastors preached to us before, his prayer closet, if you will, was the Mount of Olives. That was a place he frequented. And he went there to get alone with God to pray.
Amen.
My third point is he put God's will first. In verse 36 he says, Abba Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless not what I will, but what thou will. Jesus knew what he was going to do was going to cost him a lot. And if you're living for God today, it's going to cost you something.
Amen.
He put God's will first, knowing that it would take persecution even unto death.
Yep.
Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus knew what was going around him, and he didn't let that affect him. He knew that he had been betrayed by one of his friends.
Yep.
He didn't let that affect him, what he was going to do for us. And my last point is, Christ has given us a church. Christ died for the church. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Christ has died for us, and he's given us a church body. We're to be faithful to that church. In verse 33 says, and he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. He had his church to share that burden with him. He had his brethren in Christ to share that burden with him. Jesus told Peter, on this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What does God's church gives us? It gives us fellowship and edifying. I know that personally, that I've known more love in God's church than I ever had at home or in the world. It gives us exhortation. We are to exhort one another. Acts 2:46 says, and they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They were glad to be in church.
Amen.
They didn't just come in church, from waking up late, and they were just dragging themselves in. They were excited to be in church and decided to be around the people of God. That's what God's given us, and that's what we are to be. I'm thankful that I have a church. A lot of countries, you know, communist countries, things like that, they don't have churches. They don't have the freedom of religion that we do have here in America. I conclude, it was the love of Christ that sent Jesus to live amongst the sinful world and to live a sinful life, and a sinless life, excuse me, and to die for our sins and shed his blood for our sins. The love of Christ can be found by dwelling in the Spirit, praying without ceasing, putting God's will first, and again, being faithful to God's house. Living by these things, these convictions, will help you to see the love of Christ in your own life.
Amen. Amen.